Hello and welcome to Map Mania episode 28 featuring guest Caitlin French. Let's get started. Ring the bell.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Meg Rand, and this is Map Mania, a show where I talk about wrestling with a guest. Right now, I'm sitting in a very empty mall in Miami, and I have a guest, Caitlin French. Caitlin, are you there?
I am here. Hi, everyone.
Hey. All right. So, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just finished SummerSlam. Ready to get talking about some of them results.
We've had
a long night.
We have had a long night. It's been a lot of wrestling tonight.
It's been a lot.
I caught half the show, so I'm going to need you to like cool me in on some of the early stuff.
All right.
So we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about you real quick. What is your earliest wrestling memory?
My earliest wrestling memory, probably most defined is I went to a WCW match with my father when I was about 7 or 8 years old. They came and they were touring into Wichita, and Wichita, Kansas didn't get a lot of stuff at the time at the old Coliseum.
Okay.
I don't remember any of the wrestlers there at the time because I was so little, but I remember watching the show and falling in love with it. I'd been watching WWE for about a year at that time, but going to a live event for the first time really, I think, solidified the experience for me.
Nice, nice. So you don't remember any of the events?
I don't.
Or the year,
I remember
or
the ring. I remember seeing a bunch of people I didn't know. I think we may have seen Razor Ramon there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool.
It was during like.
So this was a good time then. It might have been between like 96 and like 02 or 01 or
yeah,
mid 2000.
Yeah, it was before the Monday Night War was super in play, but. It was definitely more of a house show, though.
Okay,
so,
nice.
Small, contained.
Okay.
No Goldberg, though. I would remember a Goldberg or a Sting.
You'd remember Goldberg. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool, cool. All right, so today's wrestling. Like, I always ask my guests, like, was there an event that kind of got you back into it, or have you just been hardcore since that day? Because there's usually something. Everybody falls in and out of it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that was me for a few years. But I think what kind of got me back in was CM Punk and The Shield, I think.
Yeah.
That stuff was so good to me. So, what got you back in?
So, I actually have two things that really solidified my stay back in. I dropped off once I got to college because once you're in theater in college, you forget what color the sky is, what grass is, you forget what reality is. You don't know what's
True.
Going on because you're living in a theater.
True.
You forget what your life is outside that. So, when I got out, moved down to Austin, I started getting slowly back into wrestling and checking out WWE little by little. I had fallen out of it largely due to the fact the women's division, I had felt fell in quality. I lost Trish and I lost Lita, and those were the girls that really defined my growing up along with Chyna. They were girls who got to play with the guys, wrestle with the guys. Trish learned how to keep up with Lita. And then we had this period of time that happened where girls became divas and girls and guys couldn't interact, and girls had to slap each other and claw and fight like girls. I use the quotation marks that you guys can't see.
There's air quotes you can't see.
I mean, someone who's a big fighting game fan, I hated that. I hated couldn't stand it. So I really just fell out of it after a point in time. And we lost Eddie Guerrero, and that really sucked. And Chris Benoit and all of that. It really hit hard. But when I moved down here, we started watching again. Right about the time WrestleMania happened, and the big moment that really got me first into it was Dolph Ziggler's cash-in on Alberto Del Rio with AJ Lee and Big E at his side. That was a really cool moment, but I gotta credit another match for keeping me there, and that's 2013 Money in the Bank.
Ooh.
And it was the match where Damian Sandow won it by playing hooky on the side and stealing it from Cody Rhodes. But it was when The Shield was starting to really be active, and Dean Ambrose was in that match. And there's a moment where the Real Americans, Jack Swagger and Cesaro, grab the ladder that Dean has on his neck. And he grabs onto it and is dangling from it, unpops his head, and does a kip up onto the ladder and is standing on it to fight both of them.
Wow.
And it was a moment that. It's why I'm a huge Dean Ambrose fan, outside of him being Jon Moxley on the indie circuit. But his performance in WWE, I always felt, was stilted in The Shield. Oh, yeah. He was really the workhorse of the Shield, while you had Roman being strong, and Seth Rollins was the opener and really agile one. Dean was kind of the guy that was going to take the beating for everybody.
Yeah.
But that really kept me involved. And the Shield, I do have to attribute the Shield and Dolph Ziggler being something that really kept me engaged in the matches for a very long time.
Okay. All right. Nice. That was, I think the Shield brought such a cool dynamic
to wrestling. It did. It really, really did.
That was awesome. And it's good to see those guys still on top. So we'll
definitely,
get to that.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, we'll get to that. All right, so before we jump into SummerSlam, yesterday was NXT TakeOver. Did you catch that?
I got to catch pieces of it.
Okay. I saw the last two matches.
I was actually partying with everybody else.
Yeah, there was a party going on.
There was a party going on.
I saw the last two matches, the women's match I watched this morning, and I watched the title match. Did you catch the title match?
Yes, I did. I watched both the last two matches, definitely because Asuka and Bayley. I love Bayley, and mm-hmm. Asuka is one of my husband's favorites. So we were having a moment. When I keep trying to call her Kana just because that's what her Japanese name was. And so good.
It was a good match. I think the end, maybe toward the end of Samoa Joe and Nakamura, it looked like Joe maybe got hurt or something.
Yeah,
did you see that?
They were saying that. I didn't see the X sign go up, but
people were saying that,
and there hasn't been any confirmation, but they're saying Joe got hurt, which is a little worrisome.
Yeah, and then it's a kind of a testament to him and how tough he is, because watch it, he takes it, and then he lays down for a two count, gets up, and then starts holding his face, you know, and he's really, really writhing in pain. And then he takes another knee, goes down for another three, doesn't touch his face at all, then gets up and starts holding it again. So I was like, man, this is a tough dude.
Anytime I see a face injury, I kind of cringe a little at it. I mean, mm-hmm. we get like busted heads and stuff. Well, not anymore. There used to be a lot more bloodshed in wrestling when I was growing up. And Samoa Joe, I've seen in TNA live several times, and mm-hmm. he puts on a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah.
I was never the biggest Joe fan. Hmm. I always loved that the audience loved him, though, especially the Joe's gonna kill you rants that have. I also love that the Bayley's gonna hug you has become a thing because of Samoa Joe.
Right, right.
I've always been waiting for the hug that Bayley gives Joe with that going.
That would be awesome.
I think it'd be amazing, personally.
That'd be great to watch.
But he's such a strong performer, and the fact he kept going. Those guys have so much endurance, and he's such a good performer and a hard worker.
Absolutely. So, question about those two matches.
Yes.
Do you think the losers of those two matches, Bayley and Samoa Joe, are moving up?
I'm hoping Bayley is. I feel like Bayley doesn't have much more to learn in the NXT area. She's been there for a while. She's been kept down. I also think to help build up the other girls. But I know a few of the indie wrestlers who were signed with them. One of them is Athena, who used to wrestle in the Texas area and Chicago area, who's on there now, but I think is going to help pave the way quite a bit. I'm ready for Bayley debut. I'm really not sure where I want her, because a lot of people have been saying Sasha versus Bayley is going to happen again, which would make her bound towards Raw, but I feel like SmackDown needs a stronger women's division.
Yeah.
You have six very, very decent females, and I think the tag match showed that tonight. Mm-hmm. But I think there needs to be a few more over there to have a women's division for that title.
Absolutely. And speaking of SmackDown, I just think SmackDown needs so much. It's to me, lacking in a little bit of star power. And I understand if it's supposed to be, you know, where the youngsters come up. But right now, I think they need a little bit of a shot in the arm.
I can understand that.
I'd like what they got, though. But I think that, I don't know, maybe one or two more guys, like a Samoa Joe, maybe, I think, would add so much, I think, to their top level of guys.
I definitely think they could use one or two more top guys, especially when they might have a few part-timers on there. We don't know what's going on with Cena right now, and especially that ending of his match left it a little vague.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that, too.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about, but I think they could use someone just to make sure they have a little more padding, as long as they don't lose the storytelling aspect, because I feel like SmackDown has really taken reins of developing personalities for the wrestlers and their vignette system that Raw needs to take note for, because Raw has such a padded group,
yeah,
but they're not developing them. Mm. Like, they're just, they're shuffling it up. Like, Finn Balor should have... Finn Balor's demon should have ended Raw before SummerSlam, but we got Rusev and Roman instead? Yeah. The ordering of that isn't a solid ending, and you can tell that with ratings where that's happening.
Yep.
And it, you could see they need more guys on SmackDown without losing the storytelling. Raw could probably give some guys over to SmackDown and work on their storytelling and their vignettes. They have an extra hour. It's not like they can't develop these personalities.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So if there was a trade that went down, just off the top of your head, I mean, I don't necessarily know the entire roster, but
yeah.
Is there a person you could see from Raw going to SmackDown or vice versa?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cesaro needs to be on SmackDown.
Okay.
Cesaro...
So who would you swap for him, though?
Swapping? I mean, not that Raw needs anybody else.
No, they probably don't. You just go.
Raw just needs to give some people over.
They could just get people out.
I think Cesaro absolutely should be over there. Let's see, as far as other people, I kind of think Carmella needs to be back over with Enzo and Cass, personally. Just, I love stables that have males and females in it, and
yeah.
I really, despite I wasn't always a fan of Carmella with Enzo and Cass, I think it added to her dynamic to be paired with them,
and
it made it more interesting to watch. I also just think we need more stables in WWE in general. You need more... Stop telling girls and guys that they can't touch, that they don't exist.
Like, right, right.
As much as some people hated the Enzo and Sasha thing, I loved it because it admitted girls were in Raw and guys were in Raw at the same point in time.
I liked it, too. I thought it was a little thrown together.
But it was
none
fun,
none of these guys had a story. They just created it right there.
Yeah, they just kind of were going.
So that part was cool. But I did like the intermingling. I think that that's cool. I miss mixed tag matches.
Exactly. Miss those. And that's something I feel like we can step up again. Let's not go backwards with that again. Pushing this women's development in wrestling and let them play with the guys. We've had girls like Lita and Trish. Randy Orton used to put Stacy Keibler through tables.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I get where some people are like, that's not family friendly. Sure, that's not. But if the girl's actually a wrestler and not a valet, absolutely valid.
Yep, they're wrestlers. Make wrestling great again.
Yes, make wrestling great. But yes, Cesaro over to SmackDown,
Cesaro,
absolutely.
I totally agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a sec. We're going to talk about you, Ms. French. And we're going to talk about, of course, SummerSlam. It's Meg Ryan. It's Matt Mania. See you in a second.
Hey party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Megaran are doing now, and it involves you, the fans. Myself and Megaran just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Megaran. I'm back with my special guest, Caitlin French. We're talking wrestling. We're talking all kinds of things. So, by day, when you're not hanging out in dead malls in Miami, you are a voice actor.
I am a voice actor and a substitute preschool teacher.
I was going to get into that, too. I used to be a teacher for a very long time. So, substitute preschool, that's got to be fun, I would imagine.
It is. They're a little wily sometimes, though.
I did kindergarten for a week as a substitute.
And
I could not go back again. Like, it was rough. I quit after 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
I did. I couldn't do it.
Kindergarten's rough. I will give that.
I couldn't do it. I mean, me, I like older kids. I always did middle school. Younger kids are, I don't know, a little too needy for me. It's like...
They are.
He doesn't like me anymore. Can I have a hug? I got the answer right. And I'm like, oh, come on, you know? So, a little too much for me. I wasn't used to showing that kind of affection. But they needed it at that age. So, I think it's cute. but I couldn't do it. So is it like that where you have to show a lot of affection?
It depends on the age. I work at a school that has anywhere from 12 months to 5 years old, varying, and it depends what age where they want attention. I mean, the littles, obviously, like the 18 months, you're giving them much more attention, you're guiding them more. Mm-hmm. The twos, they sometimes love you and sometimes they're throwing things at you. Wow. There's some training in that. 3 to 4 and 5, 3 to 4 year olds, they're a little on the needy side. They start kind of developing their emotions and coming to terms with them. 4 or 5, they're needy, but they're developing that social skill where they want to interact with their friends more than the teacher. Okay. It's when only when they fall and get hurt that they're like, can I have a hug?
Okay. So voice acting, how long have you been doing it? And just real quick, so how did it begin? Like, so for you, was it just, you got a cool voice, you should try this. Is that kind of how it happens?
So I never grew up out of playing pretend, and that was kind of me, how I got started in theater.
Okay.
And I started doing theater. I've been an anime fan for a very long time. Sailor Moon and Ronin Warriors were my first two animes I've ever watched. Nice. It was on USA Network every morning before school. I'd watch it pretty religiously. Then, of course, I grew up during the Toonami generation where we had Tenchimuyo, Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop, all those exposed to us, creating this new generation of anime fans that lived off Suncoast until Suncoast closed.
Suncoast.
Yeah, our hearts all bleed
for Suncoast.
Pouring
out a little liquor for Suncoast.
But when I really started getting into it, I fell in love with video games very early on in life, and in high school, I was kind of that awkward girl who really, at some point in time, girls fight and we don't like talking to each other. So I ended up just alone with my PlayStation, which I called my boyfriend. I used to always say I was in an open relationship with my PlayStation.
With your PlayStation.
that's really kind of how it was for a really long time.
His name is P.S. Yes,
that's
my boyfriend's name.
Yeah,
that's
my boyfriend. Being him down, I can just go home and talk to him a little bit. He's ever-changing what he can provide me with. But I fell in love with storytelling through that medium, especially because I used it as an escape during some rough times in my life, and I lose myself to those stories. And theater is very much about escapism and helping people escape the world around them just for a little bit. And I really loved an extended medium like video games and anime. But I pursued a theater degree first, and I ended up meeting Chris Ayers while I was roaming around with a traveling steampunk group known as Airship Isabella for a while. And we were performers. And through that, I was in college and I met Chris Ayers. Being on an improv troupe and finding out he'd been on Broadway, he'd done a bunch of improv, obviously I was like, hey, can I pick your mind about things? I have to write papers during these traveling times, so help me. What can I understand and learn from someone who, if you don't know Chris Ayers, he's really an awesome guy.
He's the greatest.
There's so much he can teach you, and just listening to him and his stories, you can learn so much. That's usually my advice to any voice actor or wannabe voice actor or anyone pursuing any sort of acting. If you meet someone who is more experienced than you, open your mind and listen, because cutting yourself off is taking away a whole pool of knowledge that you can gain something from.
Absolutely. That's the best advice ever. And I think Chris especially is the best guy for that, because he has such great stories, so much insight. And there's stories that almost no one else has. Like, these are the most original, amazing stories that coming out
no,
of that
guy. They don't. No one else does have that.
No one has it.
Through that, I met Chris, and I moved down to Austin, and then 6 months, he's like, hey, you want to come audition? And I was like, sure. And I'd been doing this now for, I guess, 4 or 5 years, which is really crazy to think about, because it kind of feels longer, and other times it feels shorter. Thinking how much time has passed since I've moved to Texas is really weird from Kansas. But yeah, I've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years now.
Nice. So I want to ask, I'm not going to ask you what your favorite role is. I figure you get that a lot. What's the most challenging role for you? What was the one where you were like, I don't really know if I can do this? And then somehow you dug deep and you pulled it off.
I think one of the hardest roles for me, or at least the one that I felt beat me up the most in the booth, was Croissant recently. There's a girl in that show named Chris, and she's a little outside my usual.
Okay.
Not vocally, but personality-wise, she's a very odd character. She doesn't have a whole lot of lines, but she's someone who goes through a an experience of wanting to be accepted, and she's kind of the tag-along character to these kind of antagonistic characters to the main girl, Ange, for a while. And it was so fun to get to be mean, but making sure her voice stayed consistent in... She would just have these random moments of freak out where she would be very kind of quiet and then she'd just yell out of nowhere. And in season two, she has an absolute Shinji Ikari breakdown on everybody and starts melting down. And it was really cool to do, but making sure that I stayed as Chris was really hard.
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest roles, but definitely most challenging. I, in Sunday Without God, I didn't think it was really for her. That show was really hard because I kept crying. Because that show just kicks you in the feels over and over again.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, it sounds fun. I'm going to probably play a clip from it or something for the folks to hear it.
Awesome.
And before I go to my next break, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
If you were a wrestler, what would be your theme, your entrance music?
Oh gosh, my baby metal. Absolutely. I'd have something by Baby Metal.
Nice. Okay.
I think... When I like to think of who I am, I really enjoy metal and symphonic metal. Mm-hmm. I also enjoy really poppy stuff as well. So baby metal's kind of like this awesome fusion of...
It's a great fusion of that.
It's a fusion of it, and I think something by Baby Metal would be pretty epic as a theme.
All right, so I'm going to run some Baby Metal, and then we're going to come back at the last section, and we're going to talk SummerSlam. All right, it's Matt Mania, Caitlin French, Megan Rand. See you in a second. Everybody, it's Megan Rand, and I'm here with Caitlin French, and we are talking wrestling, we're talking voice acting, we're talking mentors, and even baby metal.
Woo!
But now, we're going to talk SummerSlam. So, this was a lot of wrestling tonight, I gotta be honest. Like,
yes.
It was a long show, and I think that the crowd felt that, and I think so much of these shows, at least watching on TV, the enjoyment is tied to the crowd, I think.
Yeah.
And if they're into it, I get into it. If they're not, it's like... Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely... This one was definitely rough, especially coming out of... SummerSlam is normally one of their big build-up pay-per-views. Like, you're building up from Money in the Bank, and you're getting these big feuds ready. This year, they were having to deal with the brand split, so they had very short time to build up to what was usually one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people... I'm in a group called Tubby Mania, because it was started by three guys, bigger guys.
Okay. And Tubby Mania, shout out.
Yes, and there's like 7 or 8 of us now in this group that we just all talk wrestling during the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of felt like it was missing something, and I think it's very much the build-up that we usually have for SummerSlam, and it was all very put together quick.
It was. I mean, with the brand split, I think that was tough, and I think hopefully in the next month or two, once everybody gets split and we figure it out, I think it'll go well.
I think Raw has the hardest time because they're the one who gets the next pay-per-view. I believe they have Backlash next.
Backlash, yep. All right, so let's get started. Pre-show, we had American Alpha, Hype Bros, the Usos defeating Breezango, the Ascension, and the Vaudevillains in a 12-man tag match. I didn't see this. I was moving around a little bit. Did you catch this?
I didn't catch it, but they did the exact same match, actually, SmackDown Live, when we got to see it. I think it was actually a pre-show.
You saw it. Oh, no, at SmackDown Live, they did a pre-show, the same match?
Yeah, they did the same match, interesting enough.
And same result?
Yeah. Same result also. I think it was definitely to put up some of the new tag teams with SmackDown. I didn't get to see all of this match, but I'm actually kind of, I'm a mark for the SmackDown tag team division, I'll admit that, largely because I love tag teams that have really unique personalities, much like New Day has their own personality and has helped redefine this tag team division. The Hype Bros, I love. I love Zack Ryder. Yeah. I love Zack Ryder to no end.
Nice.
Then the Vaudevillains have such a good gimmick. I've been a fan of them since NXT. Mm-hmm. I adore the American Alpha. Like, who doesn't like American Alpha?
That's what's not to like.
Jason,
it's probably the best thing I've heard out of, I think it was JBL who said it, that they remind him of a young Steiner Brothers.
I was like, absolutely,
he nailed it.
Those guys love the Steiner Brothers, and that's kind of what they needed. And I feel so happy Jason Jordan finally has a working tag team, because he went through so many in NXT.
Yes. All right, so that match happened the way it's supposed to. I feel like American Alpha's on their way up.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know who's going to stop them, but I think it'll be fun to watch. I predict probably a tag team tournament for a new title at some point.
Yeah, they were talking about establishing that, and I think that match was used to show off the tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, that tag team, Breezango, we all know should be called Febreze.
Totally should be called Febreze.
We all know it.
They dropped the ball
on that. Well, I'm sure they want to call it that, but I'm sure they have some issues.
There's some copyright issues.
There's
a brand.
I also love them as well, as weird as that is.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun. And Golden Truth, I think they're on Raw.
Golden Truth are on Raw.
All right, so the next match, Sami Zayn and Neville defeats the Dudley Boys. I didn't see that.
Oh, that one was actually an interesting match.
Yeah?
We got Neville and Sami Zayn having the win. There was a lot of miscommunications between the Dudley Boys, so partners were taking each other out, because it appears that they're going to be splitting up the Dudley Boys here in the future, which it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Remember what happened last time.
I remember what happened last time.
And Bubba had a nice singles run, but D-Von the Preacher was
I hope there's no D-Von the Preacher, as much as I love D-Von.
Testify!
Well, I do love when he says testify.
I love that, though.
I do love aspects of it, but I'm not sure they need more singles, guys. I don't think they need that. I think they need more. They need stronger tag teams.
I think they need strong tag teams on Raw, especially.
Especially if your New Day has retained their titles. Yep. So who are you going to have?
I don't know. Next match, Sheamus defeats Cesaro. There's this first of seven series going on.
Oh, that's going to be a long run.
Oh, my gosh. This just gave me a headache thinking about it.
It's an all right match.
Cesaro beat them twice, and then they start a best of seven.
Right?
It's like, come on, really? So
really
we get more
this?
Of these matches. So Sheamus gets this one in a 14-minute match.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was a pretty decent match. I feel like they're still working their in-ring chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's not like Cesaro when he has chemistry with Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn in the ring. You're not seeing those crazy midair Cesaro, like uppercuts and swings. I feel like this is a good match to help develop Sheamus, though, and learn. But it didn't really catch my attention in the way I was hoping it was.
Okay, I have no interest in this series. Unfortunately, I love Cesaro.
I know. Well, and it doesn't feel like it's going to build either their character or their personalities.
This is torture. Like, I mean, maybe if he just said, okay, the winner of this series gets a world title shot.
An Intercontinental title shot. I call Cesaro Jason Statham because he always just comes off like Jason Statham to me, especially with the suit, the glasses
suit.
Now.
I feel like the music doesn't quite match the suit.
No, I don't think anybody's really liked Cesaro's theme since it's come out. We're all just like,
annoying.
This is what we got. This is the worst hype ever.
Right to censor?
Right to censor.
I had to take it back.
I can hear that. Oh my gosh, I can hear that now. Now I'm not going to be able
now
to hear it.
Now you're
going
to think right to censor. All right, so Jericho, once the show started, Jericho and Kevin Owens opened the show defeating Enzo and Big Cass. I wanted to catch this match, so I think I will go back and watch it. But how was this match?
It was pretty solid. Cass looked really good in the match. Enzo took the beating, obviously, as often happens.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really solid match, and Jericho and Kevin Owens worked very wonderful together.
I love them together.
I think they're funny because, like, I love Kevin Owens as a performer. I hate him as a heel, though, but he does his job by
he's
making
supposed
me hate
to.
Him.
Yeah, you're supposed to
he
hate him.
He makes me hate him and just make me he's want to throw him
jerk.
Off the screen.
Right, he's
but he's
such
so
a
good
jerk.
At that.
He's great at
but
it.
But I love it because they're always like, I always think they're the two Canadians, and they're always like stupid idiot Jericho, as opposed to anything else. It's like you trying to be mean, but you're Canadian, so you're polite.
But it's
but
still
mean.
Polite. I love those two together. Also, Lorenzo and Cass. So, interested to see where this goes. I feel like both of these guys could be, both these teams should be kind of moving up eventually. So, this was a good one to start it off with. Gets people excited. All these guys are over, so it worked out. Next, and the ordering of these matches. This has always been a thing for me at pay-per-views, but especially this one. Next match is the women's title.
Yes.
Charlotte and Sasha. Like, what? Really?
Yeah.
The second match of the night?
Yep.
Unreal. So, I absolutely knew what was going to happen. I called this 1,000%. Charlotte wins. I knew that Raw shot its load by giving Sasha the title.
Yep.
So, on that first Raw, the new era. So, Charlotte had to get it back. So, I knew it. There was no hype, no surprise.
No.
I don't know. But how was the match, though?
It was a very solid match.
What would you grade it?
I feel like of the night, it was kind of forgettable.
Okay.
It was good. So on a scale of 10, I'd put about a 6.5.
A 6.5. Okay.
Considering wrestling and entertainment-wise.
Okay. Was there an issue with Sasha? I remember hearing some things that maybe they think she got hurt or something.
She was dropped on her head once in the match. And we don't know if it was a botch or it was intentional, but she went head first down into the mat, and that it looked gross. It looked painful. I know definitely in our group we're all like, was that intentional? It's been a little interesting lately.
Wow. And on top of that, the smart marks on the internet noticed that almost directly after that match, Sasha was taken off of the next 33 days of programming.
Yeah, that's looking a little interesting. Been at SmackDown Live, I'm blaming Austin for all of this.
Could
y'all
this
go
be
party
another suspension?
Well,
people turning up in Austin a little too much and partying out. Sasha might be the next on the suspension list just based on that, getting 33 days off of programming.
Well,
unless it was a legit injury that they just diagnosed that quickly, which I doubt.
I don't think so. Well, especially with the way all of this is hitting, it seems like SummerSlam, there was a lot of shakeup with the matches that you started feeling like maybe some of these changed by possible suspension.
Yeah, I think so. One thing I liked, and I think it happened way later, so I'll talk about it, but please remind me during the women's match. Next match, we had The Miz with Maryse defeats Apollo Crews, who they keep calling Apollo Creed on SmackDown.
Austin
program.
Creed is actually Xavier's name?
You got an Austin Creed. There was an Apollo Creed who was the Rocky character.
Yeah.
So they're really getting mixed up. I noticed that. Maybe I'm just more of a jerk, but I noticed more of their mess-ups on commentary now.
Well, and the thing is, they call him Apollo Creed because one of the announcers messed up and called him Apollo Creed.
Creed. And I remember Daniel Bryan did it too. And a lot of people just keep doing it.
They won't let go of it. Like,
this match, though, was 5 minutes long. I didn't catch it. How was this match?
I mean, I feel like Apollo Crews, when I watched him in NXT, was a phenomenal performer. He's someone that I saw that I was like, you know, you could build this guy up to be a John Cena in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they've really let him down writing-wise and performance-wise.
I think writing-wise especially. I mean,
like they've just let him down.
I'm not a fan of guys who are just kind of happy to be there. And he always comes out super smiley. And like, I feel like someone needs to just smack him in the face and get him some attitude.
Like, I kind of feel like it was an unearned opportunity still against The Miz. I mean, he was just being fed to The Miz for Miz to beat him. I don't feel like there was any storyline to it.
No story.
I think Miz has far more chemistry with people that are a little better on the mic. I feel like Apollo Crews needs to improve his mic. I'm a big person who loves mic skills. If you're not good on the mic, I'm not exactly your biggest fan.
Right. So what would you grade this match?
It wasn't a bad match. I would put it about the 6.5 also. It wasn't bad. It was short. It wasn't the best. There wasn't any, like, huge botches or anything, though.
Okay.
They had
that's good.
Really short time to work
with. They didn't mess up. They didn't kill each other. That's
good. No, there wasn't any, death moments.
Miz, I think, is going to keep this belt a really long time. Is that? I mean, are you starting
Miz
to feel
is.
Like that?
To be fair, I actually like The Miz, especially when he first made his return as the Hollywood star, because at the time Mortal Kombat 10 had come out, and he really had this Johnny Cage image about him,
totally.
And they were playing it up for a little bit. And I actually like him and Maryse together. I'm kind of hoping Maryse might get back in the ring with the women's division. Mm. There doesn't seem to be any point of it.
Yeah.
But there's been hints after Raw Austin, Michelle McCool said hashtag Team Blue, which Ooh. Might hit her and Undertaker
she may
to become... SmackDown, which I'm kind of like, please,
oh boy,
please my heart, let this be so.
I wouldn't be surprised. We were talking about it earlier that a lot of the veterans are on SmackDown, so well, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a picture with Shane and Undertaker at a bar in Austin afterwards, so I'm hoping that Team Blue is a thing.
Team Blue, oh boy. All right, so next match is a Team Blue match. It is AJ Styles and John Cena.
That was match of the night,
match
absolutely.
Of the night, everyone agrees on. They gave him 23 minutes, and Styles went over clean.
He did go over clean.
And I didn't see this match, and I will be watching it directly when we're done. So, what was up with this match?
It was like a DBZ match where they kept throwing their absolute best at one another. Mm. There wasn't a slow moment in this match. The momentum was going strong the entire time.
Nice.
Everybody got to look good in this match. Cena looked amazing. Okay. Largely agreed to be one of the best Cena matches we've seen in a long time, much wow. like Seth Rollins was. When he has a really good partner and they finally let him do more than the five moves, that... Since the U.S. title run for John Cena, we've gotten to see so much older John Cena that we lost with his dominance, yep. his dominance run.
Yeah.
And I think you got to see that come back, and it really made both superstars look good, even if John Cena lost. And the fact I think John Cena lost not only adds validity to AJ, it also adds more to John Cena's character. You Absolutely. Give him somewhere to go, because John Cena as a character, what else can he do?
What else is there?
Yeah, without pulling a Hollywood Hogan on yeah. us.
So, what is next? Do you think this feud's over, or do we go with...
No, I don't think this is over. I think there's still something there.
I think we're going to have to... shake hands in the ring or anything crazy.
No, there was no ROH handshake moment. I'm definitely feeling like, though, we might not see Cena for a little bit.
So tell me about that. You said something happened at the end.
Yeah, so the very end of the match, unlike a lot of matches where you cut away and you... Mm-hmm. They stayed focused on Cena when he got up, and he had his Never Give Up band. He took it off his arm, he kissed it, put it on the ring, got up, and started walking away. And wow. then he turns up, and he looks a little, he looks like sad or kind of teary-eyed, and it was really weird, and he salutes everybody. And I'm like, okay, is this like a goodbye? Is this accepting a loss that you weren't good enough? What is this, John Cena?
Well, because remember the AJ promos leading in
yeah.
were like, hey, I'm trying to prove to the world that I'm better than you.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to admit it to the world once I beat you. So maybe it's that.
Maybe.
Dragging that on where it's like he's going to feel like a failure now because he didn't beat,
yeah.
you know, AJ. I don't know.
I don't know, but... Cena was definitely pulling at some heartstrings. That acting that he's been doing, he definitely was putting it to work in that, which is, I really appreciate.
I do. I appreciate it, too. All right. So, we talked about AJ eventually, I think, making a title run.
Yeah, and I think AJ's working his way there.
Yeah, so I think this is a huge step towards it. And match of the night, what would you grade it?
Absolutely a 9.
9 out of 10.
Nine out of 10.
A barn burner, a slobber knocker.
I wouldn't right. give anything a 10 out of 10 because there's no such thing as a perfect match.
No, nothing's perfect. All right, so this match wasn't perfect. It was actually kind of a letdown. This is where I tuned in. Gallows and Anderson defeat The New Day.
Yeah.
With Jon Stewart by disqualification
yeah.
in the tag team title match. Okay, yeah. So they've been leading this in, I think, really well. Like, I think the build-up has been good. You know, Anderson and Gallows taking out Big E.
Yeah, which I thought was good for Xavier because we haven't got to see a lot of Xavier in the matches.
He hasn't gotten a lot of in-ring time, and I thought that I looked forward to that. I think these guys are a little too small for them in the ring,
yeah. So
it looked a little weird. But yeah. I think the action was great. Kofi did his thing. Xavier did his thing. I honestly thought that New Day was going to lose this match. I thought that this was the perfect time for them to lose a match.
That's what I thought. I thought maybe So I wanted New Day to lose it to Gallows and Anderson. I've wanted that for a little bit just to give a change up. But I really didn't like whatever that jar and doctor gimmick that was going on the outside of the ring. Like, they had the jar that was supposed to be
weird.
Big E's testicles that they took him out. It was It was weird. I kind of felt that was an angle that I'm like, what is this? Why are?
That felt like some Attitude Era stuff. Like
that felt like that felt really cheesy Attitude Era, where I'm just like, why?
Like, why? Yeah.
Why do you guys are good enough? Why do you need this? You guys have a personality that's big enough to define you, as opposed to some other wrestlers.
I thought the doctor thing was cute and funny, though. I love the skits.
Doc Gallows kind of makes me laugh because of DNA.
Yeah,
DNA. Like Doc Gallows.
Right.
I did giggle at that, yeah. But I was like, okay, let's lose the jars. The doctor thing's funny. That shouldn't have come to the ring.
No. So Big E. So I don't even remember or know how this ended. I mean, Big E comes out. Okay, no, so they're about to beat up Jon Stewart.
Yeah, they're about to beat up Jon Stewart.
So the match is still going on at this point?
The match is still going on. Big E's been gone for about 3 weeks now, mm-hmm. and then Big E runs out and starts leveling the guys.
Because
they got to save Jon Stewart, who, you know, got AA'd by John Cena last year.
Right.
I mean...
I don't understand this. So they all dance in the ring. And it was... I don't know, it felt kind of sloppy.
It did. It felt very filler-esque. I felt like anything that wasn't a title match there was like weird filler parts of it. A lot of excuses why people didn't change hands outside like the two main title matches, which it was very odd. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know. I love the New Day, but I don't want this to be what kills their momentum.
No. Yeah,
yeah,
I feel
that,
like
that's a little nervous when they start doing stuff like that.
Yeah, when it's filler stuff, it's like, oh, come on.
They've been fun and they've done really great filler, but this was like awkward filler where you're just like, and we've already had some big WTF moments this pay-per-view. It ended on a big one too.
Yep. All right, so we'll get there. Next.
Yeah, working there.
WWE World Championship, Dean Ambrose defeats Dolph Ziggler. No doubt in my mind that this was going down this way. I knew they were feeding Dolph to Dean. They were building up Dolph so that he could take the L. But I feel like, and I thought the match was okay, but the crowd was out of it. They were dead at this point.
I felt really bad that the crowd was out of it because I actually really enjoyed this match. I thought it was a slow start for them both, usually. But the ending really built up to what you have with when Dolph starts getting in, they start doing the back and forth, which I find is very common for Dolph Ziggler matches where they'll start exchanging who pins, they'll exchange main maneuvers. They really, at the end, started putting on a show for everybody to enjoy. Dean was being really heelish at some points.
He really was. I was like, wait, what's happening here? Is he turning?
No,
like,
I think he did the gyration.
That
was a good moment for Caitlin.
he starts gyrating. I mean, he did a lot of heelish stuff.
Well,
I was kind of hoping Dolph would have taken the heel.
Dolph was going to take the heel. But what I feel like is Dean is always going to be a tweener. He's much like Austin in that he's never really good guy or bad guy, but he's been against so many heels recently. When you put him against a face, you finally get to be reminded he's not exactly a nice dude.
He's
a jerk.
Okay.
And he's being a jerk to Dolph, but he's been against so many people like Bray Wyatt, Seth, where obviously he's the favorite.
Okay, that's a good point.
When he's been a jerk to people, we've laughed at it. When he's a jerk to Dolph, you're kind of like, wait a moment.
Hold on, why are
like,
you being
mean?
Like,
you're a tweener for a reason, and you're really just undefined.
Okay, it makes sense. I'm hoping Dolph does go full heel.
Please.
You know, I want the 2013 Dolph.
Exactly. Dolph
I want to get back to the cool stuff.
See, and that's what I feel like. I love Dolph Ziggler promos. I really love the one he gave last week on SmackDown. Being live there also, I was marking out pretty hard, especially when he super kicked
out
of nowhere.
So we talked about it last week on the show. Mick Foley went completely nuts when he saw that, and he said that promo was an Austin 316 moment, like the moment where Dolph becomes the man. Like, you're going to be looking back on that promo. I thought it was kind of overselling it, but it was great. It was great, but I don't know if that's going to make us, like, forget about his win-loss record and
I don't think it
take
will.
Him more seriously.
I don't think it's going to. I think he needs more moments like that.
Yeah.
I felt like it started defining him in a more Shawn Michaels way, especially since they've really given him the super kick to run with, where Dolph as a face promo is kind of the underdog that you hear a little too much of, which is my big problem with it. I love him. I love Dolph Ziggler to no end. But when he's a face, he's always fighting like, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Okay, I'm tired of you telling me you've done this.
Yeah, and like, that's
Dolph. He's the unsung. He tells us too much that he's done something. When he's a heel, he can run his mouth and be annoying, and we giggle at it. When he's a face, we're like, please, I know, we understand. Just wrestle. Just wrestle. You're amazing.
Just wrestle.
So when he super kicked Dean out of nowhere, it's like, are you snapping? Are you snapping a little bit? Please say you're snapping.
So what do you got to do to turn heel in today's world? I mean, I feel like it's different. I mean,
I think it's, well, being against someone like Dean, who's a tweener, I think it's hard to turn heel.
Yeah.
I also don't think there's any strong faces on SmackDown that we really, really like. I mean, Cena is a face. They're champions, a tweener, so you're kind of screwed that way. Orton is a tweener.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of Ray is a heel sometimes. Audience loves him, but it's a heel audience love, despite I think his writing's been weak. AJ is heel, obviously, and he's been a really goofy heel. But who do you have as a strong face? I mean, the only thing we got is Dolph at this point, so
pretty much.
You got to keep Dolph as a heel, a face, but you got to have him doing something more than whining about how good he is.
Yeah, he's got to stop whining. It really does,
and I love Dolph when he's paired against people like The Miz or Zack Ryder because they're hilarious together. You can tell they're real life friends and they jab at each other. Very interesting.
Yeah,
when Dolph's allowed to be mean, he pulls out all the stops.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping to see more out of him. If not, then we need another challenger for Dean.
We need a good face, actually, over there that's not, like, Cena.
I think, and this is a small theory I have, and I've noticed, and I'm hoping that's not the reason why the crowd got dead, but I think maybe face versus face matches just don't go over well.
I don't think they do either. I think it's very hard to have face versus face, and I guess for some people, Dean's still a face because Dean is something that is against the tide. If being a Sami Zayn fan is pain, being a Dean Ambrose for the past 2 years was pain because the number of times he was so close to the title and we were just robbed of moment moment of that.
So many of them.
It was so painful to be a Dean Ambrose fan.
Oh, gosh.
Just like it was pain to be a Sami Zayn fan.
Okay, so we talked about, because you must have saw it, you saw the Stone Cold Dean Ambrose podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
So Stone Cold at the end challenged Dean to step it up. Do you think Dean's got some space to step it up?
I think absolutely. Dean's
I agree, too. I got to be honest. I'm not a huge Dean fan, and I was not crazy about this match. Like, I felt like, and again, maybe it was the crowd's fault. I was just like,
Yeah, no, and I understand that.
But I don't know. I think I do want to see a little more out of Dean.
I want to see more out of him, and I want him to be able... I think he does need to work on his in-ring chemistry with some people. I'm hoping some of the people on SmackDown can help with that. One of the reasons I love Dean Ambrose is because when he was first in the Shield, he was the face of the Shield. He was the one who was talk. He has a great voice on the mic. I wasn't big when they started trying to paint him as the crazy one. I'm okay with it if you're slightly off the edge, but when you're trying to like compare him to the Joker and stuff, like they were trying to force really hard, I'm not a huge fan of that. Dean's kind of like that 1950s greaser, like crybaby or something. That's what I picture with him.
Okay.
He's more of a greaser character to me, not a lunatic. He's just a guy who grew up in a rough place who's just going to fight you no matter what happens.
I remember him saying that, like, hey, you know, that lunatic stuff is, you know, it's them. Like, I'm just a guy who just wants to give my best, you know?
Yeah. And
so I'm all for that.
It's funny when Jon Moxley's the guy behaving in WWE, though.
Yeah. Okay, 6-woman tag match, which I thought was, I guess, like a cool-down match before the big one. But no, there was another cool-down match later.
Oh, man.
So, Nikki Bella, the surprise in this match, in the 6-woman tag team match.
Eva finds new ways not to wrestle.
This was great because they continued Eva's storyline even though she's suspended. I love it. They were like...
Well, so a lot of us have debated whether or not it was a work because it just happened right after. And we're like,
it was like perfect timing.
I know. It was ridiculously perfect timing.
So it makes it feel like a work because she's constantly trying to find the excuse out of matches.
Yes.
And here you go. You got an excuse to suspend you.
To be fair, I was never a huge Eva Marie fan. I watched Total Divas when it first came out and I was just like, why are we getting this manufactured girl? Because again, I'm a big fan of female wrestlers who actually wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that she's improved. And it wasn't until she tweeted about how awful Austin traffic was that I could be like, man, that's a little too kayfabe for me. It's too real.
It's too real.
You're breaking reality for me.
Too real.
I really enjoyed her as a heel in that moment. And then now we're
I
all
love
just,
it. I love the stuff they're doing on SmackDown.
I do. They're very much owning what she is. And I appreciate that they are on SmackDown. And I think that's part of the reason I've been so pro SmackDown is they've been making me like things I haven't liked before.
That's a good point. I still feel like, and I didn't even mention it, but the WWE World Championship match happened as match number 9. Before the U.S. Championship match.
Yeah.
Before the Universal Championship match. And, of course, before the main event, Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton. What's up with that? Why is the world title the third to the last match? I don't know what's going on.
I'm really not sure about that. That was...
SmackDown will never break the B-show thing, the stigma.
If they keep doing that. Yeah, that was... I don't know. Whoever did the ordering of SummerSlam, I kind of feel like they were shooting SmackDown. But that goes into the rumors that there's actually some real politics going on between Steph and Shane backstage. That there seems to be possibly... But apparently McMahon feeds off that. He wants them to be fighting because McMahon's bored.
Okay. So he really wants that. So you think he may be coming in just being like, all right, your guys are hotter, so your match is going last.
Yeah, I feel like he's really
just to kind
of
make them mad.
Fire right now.
So that's a shame. But anyway, so Nikki's team won.
Nikki's team did win.
I want to talk about Naomi because I think I'm a huge fan. You saw the intro up,
I love her intro.
Up close. I thought it was really, really entertaining. Like the lights, the dancing. It's really cool. And I've been a fan of Naomi's work. So I'm glad that she didn't take the pin.
I thought it was very appropriate Carmella took the pin. I think Carmella could have used a little more time in NXT.
Yeah, I didn't think she was ready.
Becky and Alexa Bliss started that match really, really strong. Mm-hmm. That caught my attention, admittedly, more than the Sasha and Charlotte match.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you grade this match?
A solid 7 for a 6-woman tag match, which is impressive compared to female tag matches of the past.
True. I thought this was going to be like the bathroom break match, but I actually stayed tuned in.
Yep.
And I was impressed. There would be a bathroom break to come.
Yep.
Next match, Finn Balor defeats Seth Rollins to become the first ever Universal Champion. First of all, that belt, though. What do you think of that belt?
I'm glad it's on a guy who wears red and black at this point in time.
Right.
At least it matches.
Someone on Twitter was like, hey, man, like, it was a sign. That's why it's red. It's for Finn.
I'm not a huge fan. I normally like black or white for a belt strap. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of classic like that. I'm not sure if I like that it's the exact same as the SmackDown one either.
It's the same thing, just a different word. Like, this is universal now.
I'm like, okay.
And the red leather looks like a fruit roll-up. Like, I was not into that.
Oh, someone said something really awful about that belt, and I was just like, oh my gosh. blood, and I'm just like, well.
Oh, no.
Oh,
so, speaking of, another funny tweet I saw about the 6-woman tag match. Nikki came back and got a huge ovation.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great to see her back, especially after neck surgery. Like, you know,
she was worried about being able to come back.
To wrestle again, ever.
Yeah, having
Bree
left, Daniel having to leave, then having that fear you might be next. That's really crappy.
It is. So, a guy on Twitter said that when John Cena hung up his Never Give Up wristband or armband, he was leaving it out there for Nikki. And I was like, oh,
that would be sweet.
That's cute.
That
sweet.
Is very cute thought.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Maybe.
Alright.
Good to know she's on SmackDown because it's good to know we have more women. But it makes sense considering Cena's on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So they get to travel together. Alright, so great match, I thought. Finn and Seth.
Absolutely.
Great match. Second best match on the card, arguably, because of AJ and Cena, which I have to see. They gave him 20 minutes. I thought the match was, even when Finn got the pin, I was like, whoa, something's going to happen. Like, I just didn't expect that.
Yeah, I was very surprised the ending
I was like,
came
wait,
out of
are they going to come out and make them ring the bell again and start it over? Like,
right?
I think Seth is better. Seth is better as the heel who's chasing, you know? I think just to be able to whine about the fact that he never lost constantly.
Well, see, and Seth's character's kind of built on whining. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, that's so much of his character. What happens when he's the title? He just gets to be smug all the time. And, I mean, honestly, at that point, I want Kevin Owens just to put him through the ring or something.
Right.
But I think Seth, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Seth's better chasing, because once he has it, he really has nowhere else to go. And no. Seth needs to have something to work towards to be tolerable sometimes. He's a great performer, but sometimes I have friends who are just all over Seth Rollins, Mr. CrossFit Jesus.
CrossFit Jesus.
But I feel like Seth got the big push in the Shield, just like Roman did at the same time. And there are other guys that need to shine at the moment. And I do feel like Seth's title run got ended too early due to his injury. I feel like he needs to work with what he has right now in Raw and help build that up to eventually get the title back.
I agree. I mean, I still feel like, I mean, maybe if Roman didn't do what he did and switch that whole dynamic up, I feel like Seth probably would have been a face by now.
Right.
You know, Roman would have been the heel chasing. And
it would have been nice if Roman, at least, if Roman could be a heel, we could tolerate him probably.
All right. So, just wanted you to mention Roman. Next match. Okay, Roman Reigns. First of all, I thought it was weird that he got a U.S. title shot after coming back from his suspension. But I think it was all the plan to just squash the match at the biggest, second biggest pay-per-view of the year. Here comes Rusev, and this match is a no contest. I'm going to get even started.
Yeah.
Roman hits him with chair. Like, why is Roman so mad?
I don't.
Like, let's get back to the fact that he interrupted a husband and wife celebrating their love. He starts making all these mean comments.
He was mimicking The Rock.
It was a little bit of Rock-esque stuff.
I feel like Roman just is a lot of rehashed other people's stuff. I mean, his title storyline with Bray Wyatt, the Money in the Bank thing, those were all the Dean storylines the year before, and now he's rehashing his cousin's material on Lana.
Yeah, so that didn't work. Roman flips out, beats up Bruce. I don't know. Was that a double turn? Like, what are they doing?
I don't know what they were supposed to do with this, because I felt like at first what they were doing with it is they were using the Olympics and the pro-American patriotism to give Roman a cheap pop, finally. Because once you have the USA, you're giving him a really cheap pop.
All right.
That you're getting people to cheer for Roman, but unfortunately it wouldn't last. Even once he had the title, it was going to go away once the Olympics ended. But for that little bit, you had people cheering for Roman because of the USA, which is a cheap pop.
That didn't work.
It didn't work.
It didn't do it that way, but...
Well, it did work for some episodes of Raw. It's not working when it got here. No. Clearly, this crowd has not forgotten many things, as we learned tonight.
This was a tough crowd.
This was a tough crowd.
So, during this match, I heard a, we want, what did I hear? I wrote
Slater?
It down.
I heard Slater.
Yes, I heard a we want Slater.
I wanted Slater.
And I wouldn't have minded seeing Slater at that point. I love his gimmick as well.
I know!
I absolutely love what's happening with him. Getting smashed for his family. I absolutely love it. So, I don't know what's happening with Dean, but I honestly think this was a punishment. I think for the substance abuse stuff.
Yeah.
I think that people were upset, like, oh, how does he get put right back into a title match after getting suspended?
Yeah, I can see that.
But I think at the same time, it was, you know, it was never meant for him to get the title.
Yeah, he's not up. I'm curious what they're going to do with it, because I really don't know where Rusev has to go.
I don't know. I'm ready for Rusev to move up. So for my original prediction was that he would lose.
Yeah.
Only because I wanted Rusev to kind of move up a bit.
I think Rusev needs a new thing at this point. I would really... Him being a heel is fun. And I really like him and Lana paired together, because obviously we saw where the her and Ziggler storyline left. That was all sorts of awkward.
Oh, yeah.
But I think something needs to happen and change with him when he moves up. I think you need a step elsewhere, because you can only go so far as the monster character before it runs dry.
Yeah, I agree. I'm ready to see something new. I love Rusev. I love his work. I even love him on the mic. So I'm looking forward to something new and cool from that. Main event, Brock Lesnar defeats Randy Orton. You have some thoughts on Brock Lesnar.
Why?
I thought they were great thoughts. Do you want to share your thoughts on Brock Lesnar? You're not a Brock Lesnar girl.
I'm not. I've never been a Brock Lesnar fan. Largely, even when he was working full-time in WWE, he was not a guy who was great on the mic, which you had Paul Heyman for him there. But he was a guy who was pushed... because he was big. And I grew up in a time where a lot of guys were pushed because they were huge and they really had short title runs because of it. And Brock Lesnar just became another one of those people to me. And honestly, I've read stories that he's such a br- rude person to his fans, and I do not like hearing stories like that. That really, I normally am big about divorcing someone from their work, but for wrestling, as a fan of wrestling, it's really hard for me to do that.
And he really is. He's a prize fighter. I mean, he says it all the time, like, hey, I show up, I get paid, I work.
I feel like Kevin Owens is almost a parody of what Brock Lesnar is, just funnier.
He's funnier.
But Brock Lesnar, the fact is, Brock Lesnar gets away with murder.
Oh, yeah.
Roman Reigns gets punished for his substance abuse. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Roman Reigns should serve his time for violating the wellness policy. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar gets caught with fails two drug tests after his before his UFC fight, but it doesn't get announced until after his UFC fight. Mm-hmm. He's violated those drug policies. WWE is like, he didn't do it with us. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they say that about Billy Gunn? They fired Billy Gunn from NXT when that happened. Mm. But Lesnar, because he makes some money, gets to stay around as opposed to someone who was super loyal to the company. Mm. Like, Billy Gunn's a company guy. Yeah. He works some indies shows, but he's been, when you know him from WWE. You don't know him from WCW. You don't know him from UFC or XFL or whatever Brock Lesnar has done outside WWE to make money. You know, he didn't go barter with Jimmy John's for a name on his shorts.
Brock's not a, he's not a WWE guy.
No, he's not.
And he's in it for himself.
And they don't have to script him. That's crap.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this match, ends with a TKO after Orton gets bloodied and bludgeoned. It's pretty much a decimation, which kind of happens with Brock at SummerSlam.
I felt that it was really crappy to use Orton for it, though.
Yeah, it was weird to have Orton be the guy for it, but maybe no one else would sign up for it.
I'm sure that currently there's not a lot of people who are Brock Lesnar fans in the locker room either, or the way he's gotten away with things. I don't think anybody actually likes Brock Lesnar. I don't know anybody who does.
Wow.
But
he's money.
He's so money, and they keep him. They keep him because he's money.
So you've already predicted what's going to happen tomorrow on Raw.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Lesnar's going to get suspended, which is the same thing that happens every time Lesnar goes away.
This has happened before.
I don't remember who he F5'd last time, but he F5'd someone and got suspended for it.
He did.
I don't remember exactly who it was.
Gosh, who was it?
Was it H?
Maybe it was Triple H and like J&J Security or something.
I know J&J Security got F5'd, but that wasn't the suspended point. I think it was Triple H
that got
F5'd. So now they're just going to do it to Shane?
Shane's a SmackDown guy. So
Shane is a SmackDown guy, but
would that get him suspended from Raw?
I think so, because Orton went to Raw to beat up Brock Lesnar, he got in trouble on SmackDown.
Okay. So that means both of them will probably be on Raw tomorrow.
I think there's going to be some repercussions. Shane will come out
and be like, "Hey, Steph, that's not right. You do something." And then she's going to suspend him again.
Yeah, and then he's going to be gone until Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble, he'll come back. And we'll see what happens with that.
Man, let's not... Another predictable Royal Rumble. Please, let's not do that.
So it ends with that. I was really hoping for a Goldberg run-in, spear, jackhammer, or something. Just maybe some jawing just to hype us up, even if it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, like, why would you end it on that note? I mean, you have two title matches. You have one retaining. One... You get Finn Balor... With the title.
Like, that could have been the final moment.
Why did you not let the demon be the final moment? I mean, you could have ended it... If you wanted a heel ending, there was so much more you could have done as opposed to just this complete decimation. I don't know. I guess I equate it to when Big Show got wrecked by Brock Lesnar. It was like a 10-minute match about 2 years ago where Brock Lesnar just beat up Big Show, just... destroyed him over and over again because someone apparently has some sort of fetish for watching Brock Lesnar just destroy people backstage. I don't know why.
They like to see it.
They like to see Brock Lesnar just have 10-minute beatdowns where people can't defend themselves, and I don't get it.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Is someone living vicariously through Brock Lesnar at the moment?
I don't know. I mean, I think it proves, I mean, to Vince maybe or somebody, like, look, big guys still sell. Like,
still,
there may be, this may be an indie-centric little guys, you know, game right now. But big guys get the last word, you know. I think.
And wouldn't you beat up Sami Zayn then, as opposed to your golden boy Orton?
Yeah.
What does, I mean, Orton was your golden boy for how long?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know where Orton goes from here either.
Yeah, like, why? Orton just came back and you make him lose to Brock Lesnar?
He just
Lesnar?
Gets squashed. Like, welcome back.
And then
back.
For Lesnar to leave. It's like, just what does Orton get to chase here at this point? Rumors say that Bray and Orton are going to have a feud, which I'm hoping could be a really good, really creepy
that.
Angle. But we have the Eric Rowan angle that's starting to develop now with Bray, where it looks like Bray is turning from his followers. So I don't know what's going on with that, and hopefully it'll build. I'm really excited Bray finally has storyline. Finally, after
finally,
3 years
geez.
Of having this guy who rambles incoherently at us. I love cult leaders as a character type. I love them. They're fascinating.
Yes.
You have to have some charisma and sense, though, when you talk. Bray rambles. And the problem is, whatever he rambles doesn't follow through in his actions all the
Absolutely.
Time.
It's a good point. I think that, but I love what he's been doing. But, like, he'll lead into a great feud and then just lose. And then
I know, and it's like, why would you do that? If you're trying to make him, like, the eater of calling him the eater of worlds, something that's almost comparable to Lovecraft's Azathoth, who devours worlds, the great devourer, he needs to be winning.
Like,
he needs to be having a Rusev-style streak through
somewhere.
The roster.
Yeah, I would love to see him just go on a run, you know? Like
Absolutely.
What they're doing with Braun Strowman now, I guess.
Yeah,
just
well, he lost
just,
his big muscle, so...
Yeah, he doesn't have the muscle. Squash a bunch of jobbers, even if it's just jobbers.
Yeah.
But just have him win some matches to build up this fear.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know,
definitely...
The power.
Definitely. Yeah. You need to build back up the fear of Bray Wyatt as opposed to this guy who loses a lot.
All right, so that wraps up our SummerSlam. What would you grade this SummerSlam? Try not to grade it off the end, which is what I wind up doing a lot. The way I felt at the very end was like, meh.
I would say about a B-.
B-, okay.
B-. I mean, it had some good moments. I mean, I'll admit, I felt like the two title matches of the night, Balor versus Seth and Dolph versus Dean was like ladies' night, because... To be fair, all the ladies were given a treat tonight with the matches. Speaking very candidly from a female point of view, I'm like, those matches are really nice to watch. No matter what happens, there was no losing for me in that.
Losers.
But I felt like there was points where they really felt, the ending definitely was one of the big moments, and the... Whatever was going with Roman Reigns. Though, to be fair, Roman Reigns executed the best spear I've ever seen Roman Reigns actually execute.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty...
I was like, well, he had the ramp to do
amazing.
The run, and I was like,
yeah,
wow,
he had a
that's
lot of space
the
to run.
Best.
Like,
and Rusev took it like a champ.
He did. He took it like a champ. Absolutely.
Like when Jericho... what was it? It reminded me of when Goldberg tried to kill Jericho with the spear on WCW.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it had about that power,
it
too.
Was,
and I was like, oh...
It was pretty great.
What is going on, Roman?
Nice. So, I don't know. So, maybe Roman will get suspended, too. I don't know what they're doing right now.
I don't think we can have any more suspensions. No one
for
on SmackDown gets suspended, please.
Maybe Roman's getting popped again. I hope not.
I hope not. I mean, he just came off it. I'm kind of hoping they're doing something new with him that they'll finally explore and explain. Besides him just being, like, The Rock and being a jerk.
Yeah, I think him just being a jerk isn't enough, because he's not funny enough to make it work.
No, he's not funny
enough.
He could
just be a silent brute who just crushes people.
What? It's definitely, they need to stop using the formula of, you're related to The Rock, you must be great.
Yeah, it's time to change the
formula. That's got
to
stop, Nia Jax.
Well, we also have to stop the show.
Yes.
And it's time to go. Thank you so much for being here, Caitlin. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for letting me talk.
No problem. All right, so how can the people get in touch with you? If they want to express their love or hatred of your wrestling views.
Oh, man. You can contact me on Twitter at CaitlinFrenchV.
All right.
You can also find me on Instagram at CaitlinFrenchVA. And I have a Facebook page, Caitlin Friends Voice Actor. I'm not really creative in any of my titles. I also have an Ask FM page, but I've neglected it for a little bit. But feel free to ask me questions, because I'll randomly just go through and answer like 70 at a time.
Nice, nice. All right, well, thank you again for being here. It's Mega Rant. It's Matt Mania. I hope you enjoyed SummerSlam. We are out. Deuces.
Thank you. You made that music. She a couple years younger, but she better than them all. Say better than them all. Got her own, she don't need no ticket. She get it, yeah, she got it, so you know I'm gon' get it. She my NYPYT. She my NYPYT. She my NYPYT. She my pretty young thing, and I do anything for her.
I love you, pretty young thing. You need some loving from a real one. What it do? I ain't trying to do too much, but come through. Cartier frames too much, but it's cool. The only thing strange, they won't get off you. Tell you wanna ride up, well, I got a ticket. And later we can hide out. Try and get a missing. Now I'm all up in your mind cool. Now. Cause I get you, but you can't figure mine out. See, I'm quite different. A James Bond with a Saint Laurent fetch. And thank God I never had a baby mother either. Snapchat shorty, flash that for me. Clap back, that's not for you. Give her 50 feet, fell in love in a week. She penetrating my mind, I penetrate that physique. Cause I would delete, digging that chemistry. No limit to me and she, can give me a kiss on the cheek. Pretty thing,
ooh. A couple years younger, but she better than them all. Saying better than them all. She got her own, she don't need no ticket. She get it, yeah, she got it, so you know I'm gonna get it. She my NYPYT.